Today's reading is Luke 8, verse 4 through 15. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than what was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. King's Quest students, first through fourth graders, you can head to the lobby and find your teachers. The rest of you may be seated.
Thank you, Elias, for that reading. So grateful for it. So we're going to be looking at the parable of the sower, which is all about listening and hearing. We're going to look this morning on or think about the shape of a listening life. This really is a parable that comes from that parental saying, which is, "I know you hear me, but are you listening?" Because this whole idea of hearing and listening is absolutely central to the shape of a disciple's life. And so this parable is extremely important. In a way, it gives us an insight to even how to think about how to listen to parables. Because one of the things that Jesus does so well in his stories is by getting at the truth, in the words of Emily Dickinson, by telling it slant. So not coming directly at a thing, but coming from the side of a thing that then surprises us, surprises those who are hearing, where at the end of the day, we're given a story that we need to think about our lives through and we need to locate ourselves in. And this parable is like that, and it begs certain questions that we're going to think about. But it would be silly to preach a sermon about listening if we didn't start there. So what I'd love to do right now is to take a moment for you, for me, for us together, to listen to what God might be saying to us now, or at least to get into a posture of wanting to receive what God has for us. So would you join me in listening, and then I will pray. Lord God, speak to us. Give us ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if I went around the room, and I'm not going to do it now, we don't have time, but if I was going to go around the room and ask, what did you hear? What would you say? Your stomach growling? Certainly, in staff, this is a confession. When we have these moments of like quiet contemplative prayer, you can tell who's hungry because it just happens. Did you hear maybe your own voice and the words that you regret saying before you came to church this morning? Did you hear certain worries or concerns that you are holding on to as you think about what's ahead of you this week? Did you hear perhaps something confusing and surprising that you're not sure what to make of? The thing about life and the thing about our relating to God is that there are always opportunities to be listening and to be hearing. And often where our attention is defines on what we're able to actually listen to, what we're able to hear. So if you want to turn your Bibles and the Blue Bibles to page 865, we're going to look at this parable, and then we're going to look at the shape of a listening life. So I'd love to read through this parable and then look at Jesus's interpretation of it, and then we'll continue on all the way down through verse 21. So when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, Jesus said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And then some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. As he said these things, he called out, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So then when the disciples asked him, what does this parable mean? He said, well, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Then the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, they fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that, in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. So Jesus tells this agricultural story about a farmer who is probably maybe the most inefficient farmer ever to be, who's scattering seeds all along the places. And of course, I mean, I'm joking, but that is how they would farm. They would scatter seeds. Things would fall on some different types of ground, different types of soil. We know this first soil, it falls on this ground, and then it says the birds come and devour it. Jesus interprets this parable, this part of it, by saying this is like the devil who comes, and the seed cannot actually fall into the soil and germinate and sprout because there are aims that are opposed to the good ways of God. So this seed, though it falls there on rocky ground, maybe it doesn't have a chance to permeate, and so there's no fruit. It yields nothing. Then we have the second soil. The second soil seed falls into some rocks. It finds a place to actually to land and then to go into the ground, and it begins to sprout a bit. But we know what happens. Over time, it begins to die away because the roots do not grow down deep. Perhaps these are the types of people who are excited at first to hear the word of the Lord. They respond immediately. But then they begin to live life when the rug is pulled out from under them, when they face things in their life that are surprising, they don't know what to do, then all of a sudden their faith seems to go away with all of that. There is no fruit. Then we have this third soil where it falls and it actually goes down a little bit deeper and it begins to sprout and it begins to grow. But then it's threatened. It's threatened by the riches, by the pleasures of the world. And the visceral word that Jesus uses here is that it begins to be choked out. So that it's possible then to hear the word of the Lord, for it to fall into the soil, for there to be growth, but then for over time, it to be choked out where it produces nothing eventually. It's a scary thing. Other parable or other texts describe this as like a withering away, which is there more any more depressing word for what can happen to faith than wither away? That it somehow over time just dissipates. The thing that seemed so true to your life, seemed to make sense of all that you were, is just a thing of the past. And there is no fruit that can be produced. And then we see that it's possible for the Word of God, for the Word revealed in Jesus, for the words about the kingdom of God to plant so deeply in a person's heart that over time it does produce fruit. It does yield something. See, what Jesus is getting at and what he wants us to ask is, what soil are you? What soil am I? The Word of God is not going to change. The Word of God has been spoken. It has been revealed in the person of Jesus. It is ongoingly spoken by Jesus through the Spirit of God. The question is, how is it implanted in our lives, and what type of fruit will be produced? What type of fruit will actually yield from what it is we've heard? The words that Jesus uses is that it will produce fruit with patient endurance. See, the thing about this parable, what it doesn't let us do, is it doesn't let us assume for a moment that we are just one soil and then we're good for the rest of our lives. But that it's actually possible to think we are a good soil and then over the long haul realize that we are one of the soils where the riches and the pleasures and the distractions and all of the things that give us life begin to choke out our faith. That's actually possible. So in a way, it's a warning, but in a way, it's an encouragement. The Word of God can produce fruit, but what type of soil are you? And so what is the shape of a listening life? First, the listening life is a fruitful life. So how do we know what soil we are? Is by the type of fruit that's being produced. So we should be able to know whether or not we are good listeners by looking at our lives and asking the question, are we becoming more and more like Jesus? As the word of the kingdom has been brought to bear on the world through the person of Jesus, as he begins to describe in the Gospels what the shape of kingdom life looks like, as we begin to shape and orient our lives around that, we should be able to see the fruit that is possible from the Word of God, which begs the question, do you see that fruit in your life? If you were to ask a person, do you think I listen well to Jesus? What would they say? If you were to say, what type of fruit do you see in my life? What would they say? Is that a terrifying question to think about asking? Especially to those closest to you. I'm not going to ask my wife that. He's like, I don't know, I've been waiting to see lots of fruit. No, but I think that there's this sense in which we are part of a community who want to grow, who want to bear fruit, who want to listen well, but it requires this life of steady patience and endurance in the way of Jesus to conform our lives around that person, to take seriously the words that he says, to believe that he is still speaking now, yes, through his word, but also through an ongoing, conversant relationship with him, that he has things to say to us in our lives that we might then conform our lives to and then bear fruit. So what type of soil are you, and what type of fruit in your life do you see? But Jesus continues to double down on this idea of listening, of how important it is. And he changes metaphors a bit from a field and seeds and soils to light and to jars. He says in verse 16, no one after lighting a lamp covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care then how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. This is just confusing. So we move from this parable of the sower, which is about hearing, and Jesus interprets that, to then this whole idea of a jar and not putting it under the bed because it needs to be, you know, it needs to be seen, and then this idea of something that's hidden will be disclosed, and then he says to take care or be aware of how you hear. How is all of that connected? Well, I think what Jesus is getting at is that the listening life is an attentive life. And here's what I mean by that. That the listening life is an attentive life. It's that what we pay attention to and are attentive to will over time be revealed. In a sense, we are listening to things all of the time. We do not live in neutral ground. We live in what's called an attention economy. People pay billions of dollars to make sure that you and your attention is constantly here. Your attention and my attention is one of the biggest commodities in the world currently. And what we listen to and what we hear and what we pay attention to will over time be revealed. Nothing that is hidden will remain hidden. It will be exposed. So take care of how you listen. So the listening life is an attentive life, and the question that it begs for us is what or where is your attention? And where are your ears in terms of what you're listening to? Now, I love these words of Henry Nouwen. He says this: many voices ask for our attention. There's a voice that says, prove you are a good person. Another voice says, you'd better be ashamed of yourself. There also is a voice that says, nobody really cares about you. And then one that says, be sure to become successful, popular, and powerful. It says, but underneath all these are often very noisy voices is a still small voice that says, you are my beloved. My favor rests on you. That's the voice we need most of all to hear. To hear that voice, however, requires special effort. It requires solitude, silence, and a strong determination to listen. And that's what prayer is. It is listening to the voice that calls us my beloved. And so the question of where is our attention is something that we should be paying attention to all the time. What voice or voices are dominating my life? What voices are actually determining the trajectory of what I think about the world and what's most important? Is it about becoming successful? Is it about proving myself? Is it about security? What are the voices directing my life, directing your life, directing our lives? Because the thing about the voice of God, and Nouwen calls it a still small voice, it's this gentle voice of truth that isn't demanding like all these other voices. Which is why it requires effort and solitude and silence and prayer and actual intentionality to be able to hear it, to be able to listen to the most important voice. Sometimes God, yes, is loud and gets our attention in some pretty surprising ways, but in an ongoing day-to-day living life with Jesus, it is something that we need to be moving toward, opening ourselves up to, so that we might hear the true voice that speaks over us. This idea that we are his beloved. I don't know if you've ever seen the film The Sound of Metal, but it came out a couple years ago, and it's about this drummer who's a part of this band, and almost instantaneously, he becomes deaf. He can't hear anything, or it sounds like just it's unnerving. And he loses almost everything that gave his life definition. Everything he thought he was, in terms of being a musician, even the person that he loved, it seems like was there one day and taken away the next. He goes to this, like this camp, a support group, where other deaf people are. And he meets this person named Joe. And Joe gives him this simple task. He says, okay, I want you to start every morning to go up into this room, and I simply just want you to be there. I just want you to be there. Don't do anything. Now imagine this. You can hear one day, you cannot hear it the next day, and you're trying to sort out your life. And then the thing that somebody gives you to do is to just simply sit in utter silence, which is your lot in life for all time now. But the purpose of this that Joe then begins to describe is that the world tells us things all the time. But sitting in that silence, this is an exact quote, that stillness can actually reveal the kingdom of God to this person named Reuben. Now, I actually don't know the faith story of the director or what's behind it, but I think what this person is getting at is there are so many things vying for our attention all the time. And the question is, what are you listening to when you actually can't hear anything? What are you listening to when you can't hear anything? Which is to ask the question of, how am I directing my life? What is giving my life meaning? Even if it seems like I'm not at all intentionally hearing anything. Because we live in a world where there are forces opposed to our faith, where there are lies being told to me, to us, all of the time, and there is a true voice. A true voice that speaks over us. Grace and love and mercy and calling into faithful living that is so hard to hear because our lives are made up with so much noise. So much noise. The thing about Reuben in The Sound of Metal is that he's an addict. And he's trying to shake his addictions. And it actually takes becoming deaf, being able to listen and to hear and to see all of the things that was ruining or running his life. So many of the things we're caught up in that we wish we could leave behind are connected to what we actually receive from them, what we believe they're saying to us. And so to live a life or listening life as an attentive life is to attend to the one who speaks truth. And over time, it will be revealed who and what we were listening to. Jesus continues. Verse 19, then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Okay, Jesus. So Jesus isn't like being against family all of a sudden. But he's using this moment as an opportunity to describe what it actually means to be in kinship or to be in family with him. And it's this. Listen to what he's saying, and then do and practice what he says. So to be part of the family of God is to be one who listens and who practices and who does. So the listening life is a practiced life. The listening life is one that where we are so intent on listening to the one who gives us meaning, actual true meaning, actually shows us the ways to be in this kingdom, but then is also one who does it. I mean, we hear Jesus have said before, right? Listen and obey. I mean, if you think of the story of Israel, listen, obey, hear my words, obey my commandments. To be one who truly listens is to be one who practices what Jesus is saying. Dallas Willard says this, why should God speak to me? What am I doing in life that would make speaking to me a reasonable thing for him to do? Are we in business together in life? Or am I in business just for myself, trying to use a little God to advance my projects? So Dallas Willard poses the question, are we living life in such a way that we need God to speak to us? Like, do I actually need God to speak to me? Or am I just living my life sort of tapping into God when I need to? I'm doing my own thing, and however God can help me, awesome, because I need a lot of help. Or is it the other way around, that we are actually in partnership together, that I am moving in the way of Jesus, which then would beg a certain type of relationship that would be need, that would be where God would need to speak to me in an ongoing way. So this means that we are people who practice the ways of the kingdom. And as we move in that direction, God will continue to speak to give us what we need to be faithful to what he's calling us to do. And so living or listening life is a practice life, it's an attentive life, and it's a fruitful life. And so then to end, simply want to ask, how do you hear? How do you hear? What type of listener are you? What type of listener am I? Are we people who are truly intent on hearing the voice of Jesus? And a lot of this is really predetermined by the good news that God is a God who speaks. The reason we can ask the question, how do I hear, is because we believe in a God revealed in Jesus who wants and is speaking to us. I mean, if we go back to the parable and the joke about this such inefficiency with farming, God is a God who is so abundantly generous with just throwing out the word of God, the good news of the kingdom, for all to hear. That is the type of God we're dealing with, a God who wants to be heard. We're dealing with the type of God who has something to say to you, has something to say about your life, has a way of directing you toward his good ways and his good kingdom. Is that the type of God that we live with? Do you wake up expecting to hear from that type of God? Or expecting to hear from whoever texted you in the middle of the night? Or the news feeds that are certainly vying for your attention? Or the offer-up responses because you've been trying to sell something? I mean, honestly, the list goes on, and you think I'm joking, but these are actual things that we check and wonder about and think about before we wonder and think about and are concerned with what God might have to say. But God is a God who speaks. That is the good news of this parable. Yes, it's a warning, but it's a warning and an admonishment because God cares for us and wants to speak to us. And so what do you need to hear? What do you need to hear? Do you need to hear Jesus tell you this morning that you are my beloved? Do you need to hear Jesus tell you this morning that I am with you? I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. Do you need to hear from Jesus this morning to come follow me? If you're tired, if you're weak, come. I'll give you rest. Do you need to hear from Jesus like the woman who was caught in adultery? Where are your accusers? Where are your accusers? Is there none left to condemn you? Well, neither do I condemn you. Do you need to hear Jesus tell you, neither do I condemn you? Or maybe you need to hear the words of Jesus, go and sin no more. Do you need to hear the words of Jesus that he is the one who reveals a God who will speak whatever it is you need to hear in order to do whatever it is God has called you to do? Because that is what God is committed to do, and that is what we see in the person of Jesus. And so how do you hear? And do you trust that God is speaking to you? Well, this morning we actually get to hear a word from Jesus through the elements before us. You know, when we partake in the bread and cup, I think it's easy to forget that this is something that Jesus did with his disciples, and that Jesus then said, go and do. I want you to do this. Because as often as you eat and drink, you are remembering, you are participating, you are hearing afresh the words that Jesus himself holds nothing back in order to love you, in order to show himself that he's deeply committed to you. And so as you come this morning and partake of the elements, hear that faithful voice of the one who speaks over you grace and love and mercy, but also to come and to receive words of life. So you're going to be released by rows, and then you're going to come up, you'll receive the bread, you'll receive the wine, you'll hear words spoken over you, you'll take those back, and then we'll partake together. Jen's going to come up and lead us in the partaking after a few songs. But I'd love for you to stand, and if the greeters can come forward and release you by rows, and the servers, you can come to the table now, and we'll participate in communion together.